Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
You know, there's a big debate on whether this country had any godly influence in it being established. It's not a big debate for me. It's only a debate for those who don't want facts. And I'm telling you the truth. The ones that don't want facts, it's a big debate for them. But once the facts are there, the debate's over. Can I give you a few facts? John Quincy Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, in the chain of human events, the birthday, this is in your bulletin, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. And he goes on, he says, the Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. You know, anybody that wants to debate that, as far as I'm concerned, debate's over. Next one, you probably hadn't heard of this guy, Charles Carroll. The great, vital, and conservative element of our system of our government is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also said this, had the people during the revolution had a suspicion in any attempt that there would be any attempt to war against Christianity, that there would be a war against Christianity, he said that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. This was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. Did you just say that it was the religion of the founder of the Republic? That's what I just said. So said Charles. Here's another one. John Dickinson said this, governments could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source. And he doesn't stop there. From the King of Kings and the Lord of all the earth. You see the influence all over these men and in these men. One more. Noah Webster, he was a senator and served in the military as well. The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. Amen. That's what brought this country through some of its darkest hours of being established, through the times where they had to fight when they didn't look like it was ever going to win another battle, but yet God shed his grace on thee. America's got a lot of issues and a lot of problems, but the foundation of it is not one of them. I thank you for serving. And I thank everybody that served. It's just such an honor to have distinguished people in our midst that serve the country. And we celebrate the birthday of this great nation with all of its problems. But you know, that's why we're here, to make the difference in what needs to be changed. Amen. Say, he just spoke to me. He just spoke to me. That's true. So let's just stand up and praise God for the heritage of this great nation. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Okay, hold on just a second.
One more quote by Patrick Henry, which I think everybody knows, who was one of the founders of the Constitution. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, celebrate your nation and don't burn the burgers. Amen. Celebrate it. Have a great time. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Well, we have the distinct pleasure also of having a mighty man of God in our midst, and he's one of your pastors. So let me introduce to you Pastor John Mitchell. See that on, it looks like no to me.
Okay. All right. We good now? All right. Thank God for the help. Amen. But it's good to be here this morning. And we just thank God for just an opportunity to share the Word of God. I always enjoy sharing the Word, you know. But just wanted to remind everyone before I get started, I'm glad I put that down because I was about to forget it. How many remember Bill Williams? We prayed for him a couple of weeks ago. He's usually sitting in the very back there. But he graduated from this life Thursday. I think it was Thursday night. And went home to be with the Lord. But the unique thing about that, I was talking to Bill that Tuesday, I believe it was. But anyway, we were talking, and he told me, he said, well, John, you know, if they heal me of this cancer, if they take it out of me, I'm going to win. He said, but if they don't take it out of me and I die, I'm going to win. And how many know that's a good attitude, great attitude, you know? And it's always good to know that when a person, how many know death is never easy for anyone? But just to know that their lives are saved and they're right with God, how many know that releases a lot of pressure? Amen. Because the Bible says precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Amen. How many know it was the breath given back to God that God had given to William to live and share with us in this earth realm? So with that said, how many know that we can just salute him, amen, for graduating and moving on to his eternal home? You know, but they're going to have a memorial service. It won't be a funeral, just be a memorial service next Sunday at 3 o'clock here at the church. So if you'd like to pay your respects to the family, please write that down and keep a note of it, okay? All right. Say, God is good.
God is good.
Amen. And there is no one like him. No one like him. You know, this little song, can I sing a song to you? Sure. Okay. Everybody's just okay. You know. But you know the song goes like this: there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search throughout eternally long, and I would find there is none like you. Amen? How many know there is none like him?
Amen.
Amen. You can search throughout eternity and you will still find there is none like him. There's no one can touch your heart the way he can. You know, and we try a lot of things in life to fulfill a void that only he can fill. you know. And I've learned, you know, through the years, I haven't always known this, but I've learned through the years that that is the very thing that I was looking for in life was God himself. You know, it wasn't the sports and the fames that was happening in my life, but it was God. You know, I was dissatisfied with every, it was pleasure for a moment, for a season. It was good pleasure. But after a while, how many know, you still go back and you, before you got saved now, not that you're saved, but before you got saved, how many know that was a void that every one of us was trying to fill? And do you not know that void that you were trying to fill was God himself? Because that void was when God created us. And when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, I mean, you know, that left a void in humanity. Amen? And God wanted to fill that void all alone. You know, and I was just, when I was praying last night, and that song was just, I mean, you know, sometimes songs will just come to you in the night. And I was just humming that song, and I was saying, you know, there is no one, you know, my wife is here, and she touches my heart real well, but, you know, she just don't do it like God do it, you know. I mean, I'm not belittling her love or my friend's love or my brothers or sisters, but there's no one can do it like Jesus can. And, you know, and I believe sometime in life we lose our way. We lose that intimacy with him. You know, and we feel like, well, you know, I've been serving God for, I pretty well got this down pat. But how many know that we really don't have it down packed as good as we think we do? And what we have to understand is that God is pursuing us. You know, the thing that I'm realizing in my walk with God, this journey that I'm on now, you know, God is doing the pursuing. You know, and if we would just take a moment to slow down, you will feel God, you will sense God pursuing you, wooing you, trying to gather you, trying to fellowship with you, trying to embrace you, you know, because God already knows that these things that are in this world are not going to satisfy us, you know, and that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when I'm going to read the scripture to you. It's in Ephesians, the second chapter. I read this last Sunday, and somebody said, you know, that's the best preaching I've heard in three minutes. Man, somebody say, I don't believe that. Nah, don't doubt me. It happened. I wonder myself how it happened, but it did. You know, but anyway, how many know God, it don't take God long to do what he want to do. Sometimes we think we got to just tarry and wait and do a lot of things. But how many know it's not about doing, it's just about receiving. You know, and sometimes we try to do and we miss what God really have for us because we got the doing in the way. Instead of being coming out of the being, if that makes sense. You know, because see, it ain't how much I do. It ain't, you know, well, just do a whole lot, you know, just pray a lot, just study a lot, you know, and that's good. We should do that, but sometimes it's not in that. We got to become sensitive enough to say, okay, what do you want, Holy Spirit? You know, and sometimes he just wants us to sit down, get quiet, and just let him minister to that inner self, you know. Sort of like it is now, quiet. You know, I'm not afraid of the quiet. You know, because sometimes that's what we need to do. Shut everything down, just get quiet, and let Holy Spirit minister to you. Let him just talk to you. Let him whisper that sweet voice to you. You know, and sometimes, you know, your mind is steady, just going so in so many different directions, you can't shut it down. You know why? Because we're just used to what? Just doing stuff, thinking, trying to figure it out, what to do next. Sometimes we just need to shut it down. Okay? This is free. I'm not going to charge you for it. Okay? We just need to shut it down. See, but as Christians, we think, well, you know, you don't never shut it down. See, but we have to look in the Word of God. This is what Jesus said. He said, love your neighbor as your And how many know we've been told that self is no good? Self is bad. But in reality, how many know self is not bad? Because, see, when you became born again, we left that lifestyle. Now the self that he's talking about is the self that he created you and I to be. See, but we'll tell everybody else, you know, you are so good. You're going to make it. Why are you so hard on yourself? You're a good man. You got this. But then we'll go on the other side. I'm just so stupid. I'm just not so good. See, that ain't loving self. That's degrading self. And when you begin to talk that way, you begin to think that way, you begin to live that way. But what we got to do is begin to reverse it. Yes, the Bible said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. He didn't say didn't think of yourself. Don't think of yourself more highly. Other words, don't exalt yourself above God. Don't exalt yourself above what God has put in you. Don't exalt yourself above what the Holy Spirit has done work in you. Say, my boasting is not in John. My boasting is in what the Holy Spirit has did in me. And the Bible said that the work is a good work. Amen? And so many times that we've kind of been so beat down with just society. We let the world dictate to us how we should live, how we should act, how we should talk. But how many know the Bible said if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And behold, all things are made new. Amen? And you got to understand something. The new life in Christ is a life that we can enjoy here in planet Earth. We can enjoy it here in the planet Earth. See, God didn't save you just to get you to go to heaven. He saved you with a purpose that you would fulfill in the earth. Heaven is a byproduct of what we're going to do when we cease to exist here in the earth. Do you realize, I'm hollering. Do you realize that you have been allotted a certain amount of days on this earth? And with that allotment, God has put something in every one of us that he wants us to fulfill to bring pleasure to him. This is why he chose you out of the world so that you would be his own possession. Now, if you haven't repented of your sins and you haven't asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, I mean, you know, you're still in a dead state. Amen? But when I repent and ask God to forgive me of my sins, he breathes on me and I come alive unto him. Now I'm able to live a victorious life, not because of the good that I do, but it's because of the life that has been imparted to me. Remember, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It wasn't the life that I will accumulate a lot of wealth on the earth, but it was the Zoe life of God, the high life of God, the life that will give you peace, the life that will give you joy, the life that will give you love in the midst of everything that you encounter in this earth. That's how powerful the life, the new life in Christ. And believe me, I'm in the same boat with you. I want to learn how to live out of this new creation because I got a glimpse of something a couple of weeks ago. That was this, and I'm not going to call a name, but that was this accusation against me. And I was threatened. I hadn't even shared this with Pastor Terry, but I was threatened. This guy said, well, you know, my lawyer said this and my lawyer said that. And God is my witness, church. That was a piece of God. Whew, Holy Ghost. That was a piece of God that come over me so powerful, Pastor Terry, that I start laughing. My carnal mind was saying, what are you laughing at? You need to be mad at this guy. You need to retaliate. my wife is my witness. She said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, hey, it's okay. God has got this. Now, a couple of years ago, it might have been another story I'd be telling you now. But I'm telling you, the Zoe, the life of God, that governing spirit wrapped me so, I mean, it come up so powerful to where I didn't even have a second thought of retaliating. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even want to get mad. And he, you know, I call him back and, you know, you want to make sure you're doing things right. I said, well, you know, what's the deal here? Well, you know, he got the rally. And I said, hey, it is what it is. Do what you have to do. And I know y'all want to hear the rest of the story. What happened next, John? What happened next? I met the guy. And when I seen him, I didn't have nothing but for love for the guy. And when I looked at him and he looked at me, he said a little smart remark, you know, and I said, it is what it is. So I said, we're departing in peace. We'll see you. Thank you for everything. If you're gonna sue me or whatever, you know, bring the lawyer, you know, I'm with it. I'm finished with it. And he said, you sure you want to do this? I said, oh, yeah. I'm sure I want to do it. And the Holy Spirit, have you ever read this scripture? It said, there is a peace that surpasses our understanding. I just experienced that a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even have a fight in me. I didn't have a negative thought about the guy. All I wanted to do was just love him. And you say, that is impossible for someone to threaten you and you not retaliate. Let me tell you about my elder brother. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was whipped. His own forsook him. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them. Yeah, but that was Jesus, John. That was Jesus. Well, let's go over here into the book of Acts of Stephen. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, the crowd, the audience that he was preaching to got pricked in their heart. And they began to stone him. And this is one time Jesus ain't sitting, but he stands up. And I believe he stood up and he said, what is my son going to do here? And Stephen said, do what? Forgive them. For they know not what they do. Church, I'm here to tell you that this new life in Christ is a real life. See, the new life in Christ is not just when we come to church and sing and worship God. The new life that's on the inside of us now, the Zoe, the life of God. He didn't just give you a life to enjoy goosebumps. But he give you a life so that you will live victorious when you are faced with the corruption in this world to bring light to darkness. Yes. To bring salt to people so you make them thirsty for the real life of God. But Stephen wasn't even a preacher. He was a deacon. And he thought, forgive them. See, do you realize that in this walk, Jesus said this? He said, in me, you shall have peace. But then he went on to say, but in the world, you will have tribulation. you will have difficulty. You will have some times that there's pressure. You will have some times that there's disappointments. You will have a time, there are going to be some times that they are really going to lie on you. There will be some times that they'll do something to you thinking they're doing God's service. But see, God's service is not to take men's lives, but to what? Restore men's lives. And that's where God is taking us to, church. When I say taking us to, church, I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. That's why to be like Christ is not just something to be said. I mean, you know, he want to transform you so to where he take the fight out of us. He want to change us so that there's no more strife among us. There's no more jealousy. Do you not know strife and jealousy is not of the devil? Mm-hmm. Look up the works of the flesh. Hello. It's not of the devil, it's of the flesh. But what the devil do, he feeds on flesh. Dust should you eat all the days of your life. So when we are operating in strife and envy and jealous, it's not so much of the devil, but it is in us. That's the flesh. But we can take the Spirit of God and begin to mortify, put to death the works of the flesh. But if we don't mortify the flesh, if we don't mortify it, watch this, the devil will eat on it. And once he started eating on it, he began to invite you to the table. And then for long, your love began to grow cold. And when your love began to go cold, now you go into betrayal. Mm-hmm. And then you say, well, that's just the devil. Nope, guess what? He's eating on your flesh. Now he's whispering in your mind, yeah, you deserve it. Yeah, oh, yeah, they're leaving you out. You know, he'll go to adding to it. You know, oh, don't nobody love you? No, huh? No, they don't love you. Yeah, you need to go tell somebody about this. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. See how he works? And you and that's just, no. See, if we don't begin to grow and mortify these things, they begin to consume us. And we blame it on the devil when all the time, look at the work of the flesh. Am I not right? Any Bible teachers or preachers, is it not right? That's the work of the flesh. See, I can't lay hands on you and get rid of the flesh. You know what Jesus gave you to work on the flesh with? But he didn't give you the letter. So guess what else he gave you to subdue the flesh with? The Holy Spirit. See, he's at work in us, developing us. And when once we begin to develop and mature, the Bible, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like a child. I understood like a child. I act like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, as we mature, it don't matter if I'm first a lot or not. It don't matter if I get a pat on the back or not. Now, have it always been that way? No, but I've grown. And I'm still growing. And I'm still growing. And I'm still growing. And I must keep growing until the day of Jesus Christ. So if you make a mistake, that's not an excuse. You correct it. Well, you know, I'm just flesh. No, that ain't even an excuse no more. Jesus said, if I had not come and spoke to them, and done these things, they would not have sinned. But now that I have come and spoke and displayed the Father to them, they have no excuse for their sin. Look at your neighbor and say, there is no excuse for you being all fleshing it out. There's no excuse. Well, I didn't get enough of education. Well, you know, I didn't grow up on the right side of the tracks. Well, you know, my daddy beat me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, you know, I just come up out of the worst family. I mean, you know, that's no excuse. See, the Christian life is about transformation. And when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to transform us, see, then we begin to grow and mature and we become like Christ. And this is the purpose of you being born again, that you will be conformed into the very image of His Son. And once we are conformed into the very image of His Son, we will do what the Son did. We will speak like the Son spoke. Heaven will back when we speak because we're growing and maturing. But you know why a lot of times heaven is not releasing and backing us? Because we're immature. And the Bible, and God knows that when you're immature, guess what? You want all the glory. But God said, I'll not give my glory to another. So sometimes what's withstanding us is not the devil blocking us, it's God withholding it for us till we get to a place that we will begin to operate in it the way He would. Mm-hmm. So what the aim is, that I don't want to become so knowledgeable of the word to where I can out-debate you. That's not what it's for. Many years, I wasted a lot of years debating the word of God. Oh, the name of Jesus is right. Oh, no, if you ain't in the name, no, all that immature stuff. Kind of make me sick that I look back over and look, all that time I wasted when I should have been just seeking, Holy Spirit, show me what this really means. Do you not know He's the interpreter of the Bible? It ain't about degrees. That was a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. How many know? What didn't get? Wasn't even a high school graduate. And he would spell Holy Spirit right one time, and he spelled it wrong one time. And I remember reading in one of his books, he had sent something to one of these college students, and they wrote him back and said, do you realize that you spelled the Holy Spirit wrong and you made it right one time and you spelled it wrong one time? And Smith said, well, did you get the message? Oh, yeah, I really understood what you were saying. He said, that's all that matters. That's where I'm at now. That's all that matters. Did you understand? Do you understand? See, but we've made it so difficult and so spooky to where the Holy Spirit now is more of we treat Him like an idol when He's just a person that want to reveal the Father to us. He want to make known what the Scripture is saying, because the Bible said the letter kill it, but the Spirit gives life. And we quote the Scripture all the time. Eyes have not seen, ears have never heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But they have been revealed to us by His Spirit. See, we can quote that. I've had guys tell me that scripture, and then they stop. As soon as they get, they stop. You need to read on the next level, the next line. Keep it in context. Keep it in context, excuse me. Keep it in context. Go to the next verse, and it says, but they have been revealed to us by His Spirit. See, God gave us the Holy Spirit, not just for the goosebumps. I love the goosebumps. I love to dance. I love to shout. But do you not know you don't have to have the Spirit of God to dance and shout? But do you realize people, they compare the move of God with how much our emotions are involved? And see, that's not an indication there's a move of God. A move of God will cause you to change. See, God ain't playing games. He ain't just doing things to just put a joke on us. No, when God began to move, I'm telling you, you read the New Testament, when Jesus began to release the power of God, something happened. Whoever he spoke to, whoever he laid hands on, they were never the same again. He even told them, now don't go tell nobody, but how many know they couldn't keep it to themselves? Why? Because it was so good. I've been in bondage all these years, and here this man come preaching and teaching a new word, and now I'm free. I'm set free from it, and you want me to keep? I got to go tell somebody Jesus. And see, that's what it's all about. God wants to demonstrate himself to us in such a way to where we can't help but go tell somebody. And how many know that means a witness? Can't wait to tell somebody. I couldn't wait. I was telling my wife when this incident happened, you know, I couldn't wait to tell her about it, even though she was right there, but she didn't understand. But I began to relate to her what had happened, and she said, wow, are you serious? I couldn't wait to share with you how much peace. You know, when somebody threatened you with a lawyer, that's serious business. But just forgive them. It's okay. It'll be okay. And guess what? This big cone of mine right here went to the mailbox thinking, oh, Lord, it's going to be a summer. It's going to be a letter in there. You got a court date here, but I ain't seen one yet. And guess what? It's over. It's a done deal. What are you saying? What are you saying? It's the Zoe life of God. See, we don't have to go around being sad. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Some of us need to just say, God, restore that joy in me. That first love that I had with you, that I didn't want to do anything wrong. I didn't want to offend anybody. I didn't even want to kick the dog or the cat. I just wanted to love people. Amen? I mean, you know, when we first got, whoo, this thing is good. Amen. And after we walked a while, it's almost like, oh, Lord, what did I get myself into? I mean, it's the same thing, but how many know that we got to begin to cultivate the Word of God in our man, in our spirit being? Yeah. See, give the Holy Ghost something to work with. Yeah. He's just laying there waiting on you to give him something to work with. Yeah. So what can I give him? Get in the Word of God. Read the Word. Well, I don't understand it. Keep reading then. Just keep reading and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. And you know what will happen? What you've been seeking God for, you will come in one Sunday and pastor's preaching about it. And the Spirit breathe on it. You say, whoo, glory. Almost like this young lady on Wednesday night one time. Whoo, yes, I got it. See, quicken, see. And God has got it lined up. If we would just begin to pursue and read the Word of God, allow that Holy Spirit as he pursue you. He might give you an appetite for Matthews. I don't know. I can't tell you how he's going to do it. But just get quiet and let Holy Spirit begin to speak and give you some things to begin to study out. And let me tell you something. It ain't no time. I'm wasting my time here. No, you ain't wasting time. Anytime you're in the presence of God, you ain't wasting time. God will give you time, amen, that you have time on your hand that you never imagined that you had before. You'll have time to do what you need to do. Just put him first. Amen? God bless you. I love you. I appreciate you. But I'm just sharing a little of my life, that what God is doing. And how many know the Bible said God is no respect of person? We can only testify for what we see and what we hear. We can testify. We can share it. And God wants you to experience him. Well, how can I experience God? When you go through, let him be God. And you will experience him. You'll come out with a testimony. And you'll be saying, man, like, can I share something? This couple right here, Miss PJ and Mr. Jim, can I share something about, okay, she think it's bad. Yeah, go ahead. But let me share something with you. The other week, we was at Bible study, and we got to talking about the goodness of God and just sharing how good God was. And we just thought, that all of a sudden, we just start testifying about experiencing God. And you know what happened? Joy started rigging. I mean, it was just coming off of all three of us. And we were just sitting there trying, all of us trying to, wait a minute, let me tell you. No, let me tell you. No, let me. It was so beautiful. Amen. Why? Because it was just like we were sharing our experiences. And it was just encouraging each one of us. You guys left. You was energized, wasn't you? She's already bubbling, but she was bubbling over that night. Mr. Jim said, I got to get her out of here. But we had a great, glorious time. But see, God wants us to experience him. God is not pleased when we go around sad and busted and destitute. You know, like we don't have a friend in the world. God said, I don't want my people doing that. I want my people to be full of joy, full of life. So when the world see us, they say, man, I want some of that. Yes. You know, that's what they want to see. They want some of that. They want to see. See, do you not know? Tell your neighbor, say, do you not know that you house the glory of God? And when you release that glory, people begin to take notice. Because you're reflecting him. See, and when the world see that, you know what they saying? I want some of that. Dang, trying to do all this, I want some of that. This right here ain't working right here. I want some of that. And you know what? You can have some of this, amen? Why? Because it don't leave you with a hangover. It don't give you a headache. It don't cause you all losing your all this emotional stuff. I mean, no, it stabilizes you. Yes, it does. Amen? Yes. God bless you, church. Is there anyone here that do not know Jesus Christ? Is there anyone here that do not know him? Okay, so we're really dealing with family here. Amen. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, joy is not dictated by you being happy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's in the Spirit of God. And guess what? Whatever is in the Spirit of God, we can pull up and what? Partake of it. I partook of peace. I'm sticking to my story. I had the peace of God, and I'm not afraid to tell anybody. I didn't even have a bite in me to want to fight. And that blew my mind. It blew my mind. Because you know what? It's working. In closing, Charles Capp used to sing this song, it's working mightily in me. The word of God is working mightily in me. I can't think of it. It took him so many days to make the moon and stop, but he's still working on me. The word of God is working in me. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Amen. I'm moving from faith to faith. I'm moving from glory to glory. Amen. I'm not trying to have another church experience. I want a God experience. Amen. How many know we can come and shout and do all dance? That's good. Amen. But how many know when that died down, amen, you begin to feel the stiffness and everything else. But how many know the word, the Spirit of God can lubricate? Amen. And oh, Lord, have mercy. Begin to cause you to cut up. And then once you go, oh, Lord Jesus, I might have shouldn't have did all that dancing. But how many know that there's a place that we can get in God that we can enjoy? Amen. A hand wave do just as good as a leg shake sometimes. Amen. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is real. Amen. He's not a teaser. Amen. He's a transformer. Amen. And he want to transform us into the likeness of Christ. Amen. So God bless you today. I trust that I said something to help you along the way, because we're all on this journey together. And we need one another more than ever. You know, and the Bible said, as we see the days approaching, we need one another. We need to encourage one another daily. Yeah. Amen. While the evil days is not coming, we need to encourage one another. And that's what we need to do, church, encourage one another. Amen. Okay, we didn't have nobody that know Christ. Did you have something, sir? I'm ready when are you ready?
He's ready. We're ready. We want to thank God for the food before we go down. And one thing about Smith Wigglesworth, one thing I really love about reading about his life, he was awakened one night in the middle of the night, startled, and looked up, and there was a black image figure at the foot of his bed. He looked real hard, and then he said, "Oh, it's just you." And turned back over and went back to sleep. He said he had confidence in God so much that even the power of God inside him would protect him for whatever he did not know.
Amen.
Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to go enjoy some fried chicken. Yes, Lisa said yes. And anything else that's down there. Are you going to bless the food?
Yes, let me do that. We're going to do something different this fifth Sunday. Are you in for it?
Hey, I'm with you.
Okay. I want you to get with your family right there. Okay?
Yeah.
And as we're blessing the food, don't nobody move yet, okay? Just let me bless the food, and then I'm going to tell you, give you some instructions, okay? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for all the ones that have bought food, Lord, the hands that are preparing it. Lord, we thank you for it, and we ask you to we just want to thank you for it. It's already blessed because you give it to us. But we thank you for this time as family, as the community of the body. God, we just want to enjoy each other today, and God bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.